Okay, I've got Sam's letter to read to you. And this will be sort of, it will be its own prayer request, but it will sort of segue into what we're going to talk about this evening. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's turn to where we were going to be, and then we'll be ready, and then we can read Sam's letter and then go on from there. We are going to be this evening in the book of 2 Corinthians. Our place there is the first chapter. And you find your spot, and then let me read you Sam's letter here. Okay. Dear friends and family in Christ, I'm just going to read the whole letter. So it's not that long, but just be prepared for this. The worldwide spread of COVID-19 has surely changed the way most of us see our lives and has reset our values, slowed down our hectic rush, helped to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and eternity. Activities and plans that were so sure and solid are now uncertain. The vulnerability of our lives is mentioned in James 4:13-14. Come now, you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our treasure, that was the end of James now. Our treasure must consist of eternal values. This school year began with 243 students enrolled and the dorms at maximum capacity. Some adolescents and young people needing special follow-up as they were struggling to get rid of drugs and alcohol and smoking and immorality. Personal counseling, these are children now. Personal counseling and discipleship produced results in their lives. The daily devotionals in the dorms, the Bible principles taught at school, and God's word exposed in the church, I think it explained, in the church services planted the good seed in the lives of the students that the Lord brought to our care. Parents and relatives were influenced. How encouraging it is to witness that His word does not return void, but brings forth fruit. There are new teachers that come to do their 2 years of practice teaching required by the Ministry of Education before receiving their teacher's diploma. They come from different regions of Bolivia, different cultures, different religious backgrounds, beliefs and values, and political beliefs. But we know that if the Lord brought them here, it is because He has a purpose for their lives, and prayerfully we seek to bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Things changed completely with the arrival of the COVID-19 to this country. First, we were ordered to stop regular classes at school, and then to close the free dorms because of high-risk infection for lack of social distancing. Just a week before the highways were closed and towns encapsulated, just before that, the Lord provided extra resources and we were led to invest it in fuel and food, not knowing of the COVID-19 pandemic, that rationing, it lasted us almost 2 months. The use of farm equipment was stopped, traveling was reduced, electricity generator is used only for a few hours for illumination and pumping water from the deep well. When the food resources were getting low, we received a phone call from a rancher that raises cattle 24 kilometers away, asking us to visit his ranch next afternoon. He had brought sacks of rice and beans and sugar and noodles and cooking oil and half a bowl of meat and even eggs. Just a sweet way of the Lord remembering us that He continues in control and providing for our needs. We even had enough to share some products with the Ayureo families that live here and are suffering with scarce food during the quarantine. It is comforting to see how our Savior looks after every little detail of our lives. I do take a couple of medicines daily. One is for high blood pressure, and at the end of February, when Panfi went into Santa Cruz, I asked her to buy enough for 2 months. By mistake, she got double. But it worked out perfect, as I still do have these pills that are hard to find in the smaller towns. They're only in Santa Cruz. A mistake, he has in quotation marks, controlled by God, always caring for us. No one knows how long this situation will last, as the cases of infection and deaths are still increasing in the country. So far, we did not have any cases in our area yet with God's care, but are taking the preventive measures. Parents and students are eager to return to the mission, asking to reopen dorms in the school as they felt sure here under God's care. But unless authorized by the government, we cannot open. Many of them come with doubts and questions, expressing their fears and concern about life and about future events. Others come for counseling and spiritual issues they are struggling with. It is a sign that God continues to speak and that His Word is accomplishing its purpose under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now that the students are away, we are doing much needed maintenance and fixing the stove and oven in the main kitchen. We're also repairing the water system, the bathrooms in the dorms and the school, patching the roofs and working on the different yards. It also gives us time to do activities at home that were postponed because of lack of time. The missionaries Velta Kegis and Ondina Kreplin have gone to Brazil for medical checkup and renewing of their ID cards, but they got caught with the lockdown and are still there, as all the borders are closed and national traveling is restricted. Daniel, this is their son, and his family are locked in Santa Cruz, and Joshua as well, their other son. In urban areas, the students continue with studies online, even if it is not as efficient as it should be. Little Daniel in kindergarten gets a lot of homework to do. In rural areas, as where we are, there is no phone line nor TV signal in the villages, so it does not work. So the Ministry of Education has not yet determined what to do with the school year in remote areas. Please continue to pray for the word planted in the hearts of students, relatives, and teachers. They have many doubts and fears. Some are back in remote and distant villages, but they have with them God's word and the principles taught and our prayers. Pray also for the Ayureo village as they face hard battle against evil. The younger Ayureos, instead of seeking the Lord, are going after witch doctors. Pray for Daniel Nurumini, a young Ayureo that has faced spiritual problems, but instead of seeking God's help, was taken to witch doctors and his situation is worsening. We do continue to pray and work with him and his relatives. Please pray also for two Ayureo ladies, Cindy and Lilibeti, that belong to different family clans and are causing ugly disruptions and fights among the families with lies and with gossiping. We do not know what the future holds or if the Lord may take some of us home, but we do know that He continues in control and that nothing happens without His permission. With thankfulness and appreciation, on behalf of the missionaries of the Mission Evangelica Bautista Rincón del Tigre. Sam Jansen. We'll post this up in the bulletin board, and you can read it later at your leisure if you missed a name or want to see something again. All right. Now, Sam's letter reminds me of what we're looking at here in 2 Corinthians. Oh, let's see. What should we... let's just look at verse 8. We do not want... This is verse... Chapter 1, did I say that? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we are burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Now, this section, and there's more here that we'll hopefully touch on if we have time, it describes some of the problems and hardships that Paul encountered in his ministry. And you've read enough of Paul's writings and the history there to know that it was not easy sailing for that man. And so to hear of a missionary with problems, like we heard some of Sam's problems there, it's no new thing, is it? It's not like, where'd God go? I mean, where was he then in the first century? And where is he in the 21st century? He says, Paul does in verse 5, he speaks of the sufferings of Christ. In verse 6, he says they are afflicted. And then we read verse 8 here, where he says that we despaired even of life. Now these are difficulties that fell upon Paul, and he wants the saints there in Corinth to know about this. But not just Corinth. He writes to the church there in Ephesus, and he says this to them, I am an ambassador in chains. You remember the statement, and you know that Ephesians was written from prison, probably chains, maybe two soldiers on either side that would rotate around, but he was locked and chained, and yet he says, I am the Lord's ambassador. Now, for some, these verses in Ephesians and 2 Corinthians or this letter, this begs the question, why? Why do God's servants suffer so? And, for instance, Paul says, I am an ambassador in chains. Well, how does America treat her ambassadors? Not her president, but her ambassadors. She treats her ambassadors like royalty. She handles them with all deference, with all respect, and all due honor. And they are, wherever they go, they are the United States. You know how ambassadorships work. And so we mere mortals, we treat our ambassadors as if they're kings. And yet Paul, an ambassador of heaven, a messenger for the kingdom of God, is sitting there in prison and no doubt chained to one or more soldiers. Now, I'm thankful that then, I don't know if those questions ever bother you. You may not rationalize them. You may just feel kind of a wrinkle in your heart and just feel sort of upset, like, why is this happening to me? It shouldn't be happening. I'm a Christian. I'm a good Christian. It shouldn't happen. But we have answers. We have explanations here. And I'm thankful to God that he wrote this, and I think that under the obvious inspiration of the Spirit, we have answers for such questions. Look at verses 3 and 4 of our chapter. The first answer is this. There is an aspect of God that we would not know any other way. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction. And so without the affliction, you're not going to know that comfort. Just that's a simple equation there. And so that we might have an aspect of understanding of the tender nature and the ability of God to comfort us, Paul says for himself, this is very personal, I went through this suffering, I felt the comfort of God. I went through these tribulations, Christ was nearer to me than ever before. This is something you'll pick up if you read through Rutherford's letters. He said, oh, I thought I enjoyed preaching. Oh, and preaching was great, and being in Anwath was great. And here I am up in this miserable place in Aberdeen. I've never known the love of God as strongly as I do now and as I have been these last several months. It's through all of his prison epistles, if you will. It's the same thing. This is a very personal thing for Paul. It's a very personal thing for all of us. God comforting you. God comforting you in your sorrow, God comforting you in your distress, in your affliction. And so it's something that Paul knows about God. He would not have known any other way. I think it's a little foretaste of heaven. You remember we read this Sunday, what will the Father do? Wipe every tear from our eyes. And that will be the final expression of these little touches and tastes that we've been getting here on the earth. We'll know it in fullness. And what that says is what Paul is going through is a little foretaste of heaven. Now think about it that way. Your afflictions and your sorrows and your griefs are preparing you to taste some of the consolation that will be yours in fullness in the glory. That's the first answer. The second answer is verses 4 and 6. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And he says in verse 6, if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort. This is where the personal goes outward. And you'll find this in Paul's reasonings. It's personal, it's corporate. It's personal, it's corporate. It's individual, it's what's the other word? It's congregational. Then it's personal again. Then it's congregational. Here we have, first it was personal, now it's corporate. He comforts us so that we can be able to comfort those who are also in any kind of affliction. Oh, I tell you, this is where love rolls up its sleeves and gets down in the trenches and says, let me help. Let me be a strength to you, brother, because this is what God said to me. This is what he did for me. This is how he has helped and blessed me. And you can share that with others, and it's a great thing. This is the body of Christ ministering to one another. Why does Sam go through these things he goes through? And this really wasn't all that complaining a letter. We've gotten a lot worse, haven't we? About this happening, and that happening, and the other happening. And then when God comforts them, he's able to pass that on to these kids in these dorms, or the people in the church, or they ride out in the donkeys to the Iroyo villages, and they speak to the natives the comfort that God's given to them. And they say, well, the witch doctors are not like that. God, I want to serve him. So it becomes personal. Then it becomes corporate. The third answer is in verse 9. This is personal again. We had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This is one of the more, if not the most difficult lesson for men to learn, and particularly Western men that rely on themselves and trust in themselves and are taught from infancy to be strong and independent. And strength is a good thing, and independence is a fine thing. But when it leads us to trust to ourselves, then the Lord has got a real job on his hand to break us from that, because the kingdom of God does not spread by human strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by what? By my spirit, saith the Lord. The gospel must be revealed to eyes that the spirit opens. And the work of God must be done in God's way. Like they say, God's work done in God's way will not lack God's resources. I think it won't lack God's fruit either. But it's so easy for a man like Paul, trained under Gamaliel, gifted, obviously, brilliant, dual citizenship. I mean, this guy's got virtually everything going for him. But he finally gets to the point and he shakes his hand and says, you know what, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. I've seen the most fruit in my own ministry when I've been brought low, and that's what this thorn is doing for me. I come limping into a town, I limp up to a pulpit and can barely speak, and God does more through that than when I can just rattle on effortlessly for hours. It keeps him humble is what he's saying. Oh, it becomes very personal again, doesn't it? And I think all of us know this. Suffering, it starts personally, doesn't it? Now, it's tragedy when it grips the whole group, but we feel it, and it tends to be isolating. But God, know this and say this to your heart, God is doing something. He is revealing something to me. He is showing me my weakness, and by the grace of God, he'll show me his strength. That's the third thing, very private. The fourth thing, very public, very corporate, very congregational. Verse 11, this is where we wanted to end up. You also, he says, joining in, helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. And this is where suffering grips a man and people get under the burden of it and they start to pray. And what's he saying? It's being used of God. There is a work where we enter into the work of the Spirit, and we don't have to go. We don't have to go and cross oceans and climb mountains and publish books and any of those things. We can go and join hands with God's Spirit. We can seek the face of our Heavenly Father. We can pray for those that are on the mission field, those that are in the Sunday school rooms, those that are behind pulpits, those that are in any place where they're trying to share the Word of God. And you can actually enter into their labor through prayer. It's a beautiful thought. God so values you and me praying and seeking Him and spending time in His presence that He will listen. And as we pray, what does Paul say? I love this. Favor is bestowed. Favor is bestowed. Who would not like some favor right now? Some of God's favor bestowed upon you. Sam would love it. And he can have it. The more that pray, the more favor would be bestowed. And so, we have private, public, private, public, individual, corporate. We have answers and reasons given to us by God why these things happen. We haven't even talked about suffering and refining, have we? But we have answers here. And this little section here gives us a sweet glimpse and of what God is doing with the trials that we face whenever we live. And so, for favor to be bestowed, let's pray.